Time to take a look at airfares now and how you can make the best airfare purchasing decision. Rick Sini is our guest today from Dallas, Texas, CEO of FareCompare.com. It's a consumer search website whose motto is never overpay for airline tickets again. And FareCompare, we'll find out about FareCompare. And certainly if you are thinking about traveling someplace and want to get on with a question about it, and what the fares are like, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Rick Sini, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Appreciate it very much. I think because this is your first visit to the program, maybe you could talk a little bit about FareCompare.com and describe the what you do for us.
Sure. Well, FareCompare.com is a consumer website that was actually created by a bunch of technologists that used to create and manage airfare and sell products to that had the airlines competing with each other so they could keep track of each other. So about a year ago, we decided it would be great fun to bring this stuff out to consumers so they could be on the same playing field as the airlines. So we launched the website in March of 2006, and it has all sorts of features for comparing airfare and telling you when the best time to buy and showing you the history of what prices were before and whether or not you're making a good purchasing decision. Because as most people know out there, that somebody in the family's been elected the travel agent of the family. Sometimes it's the mother, the father, and I found recently a lot of 12-year-olds are pressing the credit card button for the moms and dads. So basically, and without any travel agent help or any background, you're sort of left to your own devices, and it's a very complicated industry, and we're trying to demystify that a bit.
Now, you say that purchasing travel is kind of like the stock market.
Exactly. The underpinnings of the way airfare change are almost exactly like the stock market. What happens is all during the day, all the airlines are sending their changes of airfare data to a clearinghouse in Washington, D.C. called the Airline Tariff Publishing Company, which was a government agency before deregulation back in the 70s. And at three times a day, at least for domestic airfares, and five times a day for international airfares, all this information, which is literally millions of changes that occur, gets sent to subscribers, and there's only a handful of subscribers to this raw airfare information in the world. And those are the main sites that you know of today: Expedia, Travelocity, Orbitz, and the sites that handle travel agencies, which are called GDSs, Global Distribution Systems, which includes Sabre, Amadeus, WorldSpan, and Travelport Galileo. So there's only a handful of people that actually get this raw information. And we all have to get this information, including FareCompare gets this raw information. So we all have to get it. We all get it at the same time. Our newer technology, because we're a bunch of technology guys, processes the data in about 5 minutes and sends all this price drop information to consumers literally hours before it even hits the airline sites, which is really important that you know when prices drop, because only about 10% of the people get the best deal, because the airlines will only release that many seats for the best deal. And if you know first and you know ahead of time and you know what a good deal is, you'll know you're making a great buying decision.
So if I get an email from you, it might say, and I want to go to, let's say, New York, and it says, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, United is going to drop its price on a ticket from Madison to New York.
Right. Basically, it'll tell you that in a couple hours, the Madison to New York, the cheapest fare will be dropping by X amount of dollars, and then it'll tell you to wait a couple hours and then start shopping for it.
Okay. And anybody, and this is, there's no cost for this service that you're providing.
It's a completely free service. We have the alerts. You can come to the website and do queries on the website in real time, or our email alert system will actually send you that information. You could tell the site that you're interested in, you know, New York to Madison or Milwaukee or Appleton, and we'll only send you when those price drops occur. So especially to smaller cities, which is one of the issues, when you have smaller regional airports, there's probably only maybe two or three fare sales a year. Because the what really drives prices is competition. And when there's not as much competition in the market, they don't tend to have many sales because they don't have to. So, you know, if you're going someplace out of Chicago, for example, there'll be, you know, all sorts of activity happening all day long, every day of the week. So it's really important you sign up for those alerts and know when those prices are dropping, because it doesn't happen very often.
So they, when are they typically announced each day?
Basically, the it's exactly the same time every weekday. It comes in at 10 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern time. That's when all the subscribers to this raw airfare information receive the data.
And you turn it around then pretty quickly and get it back.
Exactly. So, for instance, I'll give you an example. We get the 8 p.m. data in. In 5 minutes, we're sending email alerts, and those fares aren't loaded onto the airline sites or the big major ticketing sites until after midnight.
so you're way ahead of the airlines themselves then.
Yeah, no, even the airline sites themselves don't post it until then. And the nice thing about it too is we'll also tell you when good prices are about to go away, so you actually have like a 4 or 5 hour window to actually buy before they go away.
Now, if you think about buying air travel, it consists of three things. It's the fares, it's the flight schedules, and the inventory. Who keeps track of all the possible fares in the world?
Right. So basically, we sit on top of the world's largest database of both current and historical airfare information, because right now we have almost 3 years of information that we've been gathering since we started is selling this data originally to businesses, and now we're actually providing it for free to consumers. And with affairs themselves, or just like you said, just one part of the component of this. And there's about 20 million airfare in the domestic United States right now, and they change literally up to millions can change in a day, and that's why consumers find it so frustrating when they shop, because they can make a query at 10 o'clock and then another query at noon, and they get a completely set of different prices. And so that's one component of it. The flight schedules, actually, there's really two clearinghouses in the world that provide flight schedules. One is called OAG, which is the Official Airline Guide, and the other is called Inivata. And they distribute flight schedules, and flight schedules changes really on an hourly and weekly basis. So the flight schedules can change all the time. So once a flight actually has got passengers booked in, they usually do not change them, although they might change flight times. It's very rare that they'll change that. So now you have the airfares and the flights. The one big control is where the airlines make their money, is they decide exactly how many seats to give you at any given time at a particular price. So most airlines have anywhere from 5 to 8 price points. When you make a search query for a particular flight on a particular day, they make a decision in real time, basically, and on what price point they're going to give you at that moment. And it's their decision. And I like to tell people that if they knew what your shoe size was, they'd use that information to try to figure out how much you're willing to pay.
Rick Seney, our guest today, CEO of FareCompare.com. It's a consumer search website, free search website, whose motto is never overpay for airline tickets again. So if somebody calls us today and asks, how do I get from Milwaukee to, Rome, can you give us, would you be able to give us some sort of information on that?
Sure. Well, here's one of the tough things. It depends on the time of year, obviously. For summertime travel, it's basically Europe is the most expensive, no matter where you are in the United States, right? And the price points break seasonally, usually just after Labor Day in the early September is when the first price break occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to get somewhere, especially from a relatively small regional airport, it's actually better usually to try to break your trip and head to a gateway like Chicago or New York, spend a day there, because the price points out of there, at least, for instance, for summertime travel to Rome is kind of a bad example because it's the most expensive place to travel to. The way I like to get to Rome, to be honest, if you have some flexibility and you're relatively mobile and you can make some connections and take some buses and maybe a train or two, is to go to Chicago or New York and fly into Dublin. And once you fly there, you can fly for usually $400 or $500, maybe even $800 less than your major city. And then there's low-cost airline out of Dublin called Ryanair, where you can fly for like 10 euros, which is about, what, I guess, $13 now, pretty much to any country in the European Union, which includes Spain, Madrid, Italy, Germany. They basically have these fares that they're selling at basically cost over there if you plan ahead. And you can really do some exploring and be really good on the price point. And if you're going to take a major airline, for instance, out of Milwaukee or something like that, you're looking at for Rome, you're probably looking at $1,500 to $1,600 this summer. And the price break in after September, you're looking probably in the $800 to $900 range.
That's a big difference. Rick Seney, our guest, if you're flying somewhere or thinking about going somewhere, give us a call. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. We'll see what we can do for you. So you're a computer guy, really, huh?
Yeah, actually, I got my start in the oil and gas business back in the late 80s and then processing humongous amounts of data for oil exploration. So I like to tell people that I got out of oil and gas because it was $6 a barrel back in 1999 to get in the Internet business. So it may not have been the best decision, actually. So... We're basically a group of technology guys, and we're trying to bring the best technology tools out there. A classic example is when you make a query on our website, it may hit up to 10 computers to process the information before it spits up a result.
Wow. But it'll spit that result in pretty short order.
Yeah, in a few seconds.
Wow. I tell you what, well, there are a lot of people who are going to want to be visiting with you here, Rick, and we'll... get to those phones and those questions right after we take a look at the news. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about how you can make the best airfare purchasing decision now with our guest Rick Seney of Dallas, Texas, CEO of FareCompare.com. You could just go online to their website and take a look at it as we talk here. It's a service that provides real-time information about airfare costs, and it immediately enables airfare shoppers to get a jump on competing sites. And they do this very quickly and faster even than the airlines can get things posted even. So we're really happy to have him with us. Certainly, if you want to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Rick, how long did it take you to create your own software and put this together for your website?
Right. It took us about a year and a half to 2 years. A bunch of my friends equate trying to process the raw airfare data and the rules, like building the space shuttle. It's very complex software. It's literally millions of lines of code, and there's only a handful of people in the world that actually have systems to do this because it's so complicated.
And, you know, I'm sure the first question across anybody's mind is, well, if this is a free service, how do you afford it? How can you afford to offer a free service?
Well, sure. On the site, we have advertisements, and we have several advertisers on the site, and we also make a small amount of revenue when people buy tickets on certain sites. So that's the revenue model, is, and that's what's where we basically make our money.
And you yourself do not sell tickets?
We don't sell tickets on the site yet. We're looking into possibly doing that for certain types of tickets, but at the moment we don't sell tickets.
Let's go to the phones, and Lindsay in La Crosse, we'll go to you now. Lindsay, hi, thanks for calling.
Hello, thank you for taking the call. I heard you talking about Ryanair, and I think it's really great that you suggest it, but I think you should also remind people that with some of the luggage restrictions on Ryanair, it can turn out to be a little bit more costly.
Exactly. You should be willing to, first of all, I wouldn't recommend anybody that's elderly do this kind of trip.
Yeah.
You have to do a lot of traveling. You might have to take a train. You might have to take a bus. You also have to pack very light because of the luggage issues. So you can't take six giant bags, which or at least my wife is wont to do. That's just not the best thing. So it really, you have to be sort of mobile and to pack light and be a little bit adventurous to get those. But you can save up to $600 or $700 on your trip by doing it that way.
Definitely. But yeah, thank you for suggesting it. I'm really enjoying the show today.
Thanks a lot for calling, Lindsay. David in Appleton, we'll turn to you now. Hi, David.
Yeah, hi. I got some friends that just moved near Dublin, and we want to go visit. And they had told us that, like, after September or after Labor Day, you can get tickets for as cheap as $300 out of O'Hare. And then from there, you can, I've heard, anywhere from $10 to $20 to hop across the channel.
Yeah, you basically can go. In fact, Ryanair and EasyJet, and EasyJet's more home-based out of the London area out of Stansted Airport, they're giving away free tickets. So what you're really paying for is the taxes only. But you got to plan well ahead, too, because their business model, how it works for EasyJet and Ryanair, is the closer you get to your travel date, that's when they start really raising the rates, and that's how they make their money. So you got to plan well ahead.
Isn't that Aer Lingus out of Chicago that goes straight to Dublin?
I believe, and also they go out of Boston as well.
Okay. How can they offer, I mean, a $300 flight from O'Hare? My wife just went to Seattle. Green Bay to Minneapolis.
Yeah, it would be hard to get a $300 fare because the fuel surcharges are running at about $150 to $160, and the taxes are about $100. So you've got a built-in $250 price tag, so you're probably looking at about $550 to $600 out the door. What they're probably quoting you is the base airfare.
Okay.
So it's a little bit higher than you would think, but it's still a pretty good deal, especially, you know, after the September, the early Labor Day break.
Sure. Well, when you look up those prices on websites, are they required to give you, you know, all of those hidden costs and things?
Sure, they will. Yeah, it's just, you know, when people say that there's a $300 airfare to Europe, my antenna goes up because it's got a built-in $220 to $250 price tag with the fuel surcharges.
Okay.
So there's no way they're selling that ticket for $50. So you're probably looking at the $500 to $600 range.
All right.
All right. Thanks. Yep. Thanks a lot, David. Jim in Broadhead, Wisconsin. Your turn. Hi, Jim.
Yeah. Hi, Rick and Larry. I've got an annoyance comment and a question. I recently purchased a Northwest ticket that I'm going to take next week to from Madison to Florida on a sale price. And when I booked them, I couldn't reserve seats on the outbound flights. And they apparently have reserved a bunch of seats, and they call them choice seats, that they're going to release 24 hours before the flight to people who are willing to pay first, to people who are willing to pay an extra $15.
Right, they're willing to pay a little extra money, yeah.
And this is the first time I've seen that, but it seems like it doesn't seem like truthful advertising. You pay the fare, and then you may not be able to fly. Is this an overbooking issue?
Well, you do have a confirmed reservation. I'm assuming you bought it on the Northwest website.
Yeah.
You do have a confirmed reservation, and so you will be, you know, you'll have the same basic rights as everybody else. The only thing is they haven't released you to have a seat assignment yet. So you will get your seat assignment, and you can probably get it there at the last minute. I'm not as familiar with Northwest policy, but this is happening on a lot of airlines now. Air Canada, a variety of other airlines are trying to break up their price points and upsell people by giving you completely no frills. You know, if you want a different kind of movie in one seat, they're going to try to charge you that. If you want a little extra room, leg room, and or width, they'll charge you for that. And it's sort of the one of the models, and it was started by Air Canada, and I noticed recently that it's being picked up by several airlines. United and American have changed the way they're allowing you to shop for airfares now to try to get you upsold and show you the trade-off between convenience and the cheapest rates.
Yeah, it seems what they're doing actually is just trying to tack on an extra $15 by making you panic about whether or not you'll be able to fly at the time
you
want.
You shouldn't be panicked. You'll have a confirmed reservation. It's just that they're not allowing you to get that seat assignment right away.
Uh-huh. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Margaret in Middleton next. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, I've got several questions. The first one is there a best time to fly to Tokyo? I know you'd said earlier, you know, for the summer to go to Rome is a bad time, it's expensive. What about Tokyo?
Well, Tokyo is going to be is interesting because over the next year, there's tons of activity related to the Olympics that's going on. So mm-hmm. Tokyo has about 60% of all the connecting flights into China.
Wow.
And so it's going to be very expensive over the next year to go into Tokyo.
Okay.
Because you can imagine all the activity in the run-up to the Olympics for next year.
Right.
There's tons of business guys traveling back and forth. The rates are pretty high, and it's the major connecting point. An interesting thing that's going to happen in about a year or so when we start seeing these gigantic Airbus planes starting to roll out.
Yeah.
That's going to allow them to bypass Tokyo and go directly in. And okay. when that happens, and with the big seat capacities on those planes, you're going to be able to actually get a lot cheaper seats, hopefully after the Olympics is over with, out to Tokyo. So if you've got a lifelong dream to do that, you might want to wait a bit, or you're going to pay a premium.
Okay. Now I've got a few more questions.
Sure.
I travel to Mexico every year, and I actually stay there several months, and I want to know if I'm better off buying one-way tickets or a round trip, and how far in advance is the best time? Should I wait until the end and they're trying to fill the plane and I grab something cheap last minute, or...
What part of Mexico do you like to go to?
Cancun is where we're flying in, and we have to go like around the 1st of November, which I know is still fairly low season. Is it best to reserve that now, or should I be, waiting until late September?
Well, the rule of thumb that I like to throw out for most people is you need to start shopping about 4 months before your departure date and tracking it. On faircompare.com, you can sign up for alerts to Cancun out of your favorite airport.
Okay.
And we'll tell you when those prices are going down. Which in this case, we only have historical data for domestic destinations, so it's a little bit tougher to see when those price points are actually a great price historically. What airport are you flying out of?
I usually take a bus down to Chicago because out of Madison, I hate traveling 6 hours.
Right, so you're basically going out of Chicago into Cancun. How long are you staying there?
Anywhere from 2 months to 6 months.
Right. So a lot of the cheapest airfares have what's called a maximum stay rule.
Yes.
And those are on the round-trip fares. And sometimes they're 30 days, sometimes they're 60 days, sometimes they're 90 days. So in that particular case, you're almost forced to buy one-ways.
Okay.
Basically, one-way fares, especially international one-way fares, are usually typically very expensive.
Yeah.
And so you would see a difference in price of several hundred dollars to Mexico for a one-way fare versus a round-trip fare. So you have to be sort of careful when you buy in there. There are some, depending on the airline, and I'm not sitting at a computer right now, or I'd give you a better response, that have some 60-day maximum stays and 90 days where you can get those round trips.
Sure.
So if you do this, just send me an email.
Yeah.
To rick@faircompare.com.
Okay.
And with your trip plans, and I'll take a look at it, and I'll send you a recommendation.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll do that.
It's R-I-C-K.
Thanks very much for calling. By the way, I see you were quoted on the front page of USA Today and in the Wall Street Journal today.
Today's been an interesting media day. Everybody's trying to figure out what to do about summer airfare sales. So it's been kind of fun. To be honest, I consider myself sort of an accidental advocate. We started off with our technology and our site, and we really wanted to be transparent and make the whole process of purchasing airfare transparent to people and to help people in all aspects of travel. So it's been a kind of a wild ride the last year.
It must have been. Laura in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I actually have a question. I am one of those people that got a $300 flight from O'Hare to Dublin in November, and I'm wondering, we have our tickets now and everything's great, we got this wonderful price, but I'm wondering if you have any advice about upgrading and if there's any cheaper time to buy upgrades for those tickets.
You mean into business class?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very tough to upgrade into business class, especially on discounted tickets. There's usually rules. Which airline are you on?
American.
On American?
Mm-hmm.
On American, and luckily I'm out of Dallas, so American basically owns my city here, other than Southwest Airlines. So I'm quite familiar with them. From an upgrade perspective, do you have any frequent flyer miles at all?
No, this is our first sign-up with them. So.
Right. So basically, to upgrade out of that seat into business class is going to be several thousand dollars.
Okay, good to know.
So it's going to be tough. If you had some frequent flyer miles, mm-hmm. you can do some stuff. But sometimes, even when you have frequent flyer miles on the very low promotional tickets, mm-hmm. they don't even let you upgrade out of those. So you're probably going to be in that coach seat.
All right. Well, you know, at least it's not a 14-hour flight. So.
Yeah, no. Did you actually pay $300 out the door for that ticket?
$306 with $60 in taxes. So.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a really great flight. We thought they meant Dublin, Ohio, or something when we first went into it.
Well, last year there was a guy that flew from Germany to Sydney. And he ended up in Sydney, Montana, instead of Sydney, Australia.
So
you got to be careful sometimes when you buy online.
That's for sure. Well, thanks so much.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. You were talking about upgrading, and in May, I used frequent flyer miles from my credit card to fly to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. It was about a $550 ticket. Round trip, and it was free because I had enough miles and so forth. And then coming back, I was tempted to come back a day early, so I just called the airline to see if I could change the ticket, and they said, we'd be happy to change the ticket to 24 hours earlier. That'll be $1,000.
Yeah, no. Last-minute tickets are one of the things that we actually specialize in, too. If you end up at an airport and you miss your flight and they're trying to charge you $1,000, be sure and ask the gate agent and the ticketing agent to look up the first-class price and what's called a Y-up or a Q-up, because those usually run about $500 to $600. So you can actually, even though you've missed your flight, you won't be quite as mad flying back in first class, but you have to specifically ask for it.
Interesting.
There's a couple of interesting things too about credit card stuff and frequent flyer miles that people are probably going to start seeing in the next year or two. In the credit card mile space, only about maybe 5 to 6% of people ever make it to 25,000 miles to get a free ticket. So what they're going to start doing is doing some half-and-half stuff where you'll be able to pay cash for partial and redeem partial mileage. And I know a lot of the airlines are also looking at that, where you can redeem partial miles as well.
Interesting.
And a couple other things that people should note about frequent flyer miles, I like to use them at the very last minute. Actually, last week I had to fly to New York to tape a segment on Good Morning America. Mm-hmm. And the ticket was going to be $1,600 at the last minute.
Hmm.
So I ended up using my frequent flyer miles on American to get the ticket at $25,000. And, you know, the way I look at it is that if you look at it about 1.5 cents to 2 cents a mile, I end up saving myself $1,200. I can get it probably my entire family of three anywhere I want to go for $1,200. So the best time to use those frequent flyer miles are really when you have last-minute emergencies, in my opinion.
Windsor in Green Bay, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Rick, I'd just like to know a couple of things. First of all, from Green Bay or Milwaukee to Ontario, California, departing on actually next Thursday, the 28th.
Next Thursday, okay.
And returning on July 1st, which is a Sunday.
So you're leaving on June 28th?
Yes.
Yeah, see, inside of 14 days, basically, mm-hmm. you're going to be paying business rates.
Okay.
And so what happens is there's normally a 14-day break point for leisure fares and business mm-hmm. fares. And anytime you should be purchasing outside of that 14-day window.
Yes.
So in this case, you don't have much choice.
No.
And so
absolutely.
What you're going to end up paying is what I was talking about earlier. They have about 8 price points.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be paying probably in the 5th or 6th price point.
Okay.
I'm not as familiar with the Ontario airport. You're probably out of Green Bay. You're going to be connecting, I would assume, for sure.
Right.
And so I'm not quite as familiar. You might have to connect through there. What you might try to do is when you have these last-minute things, the best thing to try is the low-cost airlines.
Okay.
Because their price points for last-minute travel are about half of what the major airlines are. So if you can either bus down, drive down to a city that has a low-cost airline, like if you can end up in Chicago and maybe get a Southwest ticket to I think they fly out of Burbank, and they may fly into Ontario as
they
well.
They do fly into Ontario.
That's going to be your best bet at the last minute, is to try to use a low-cost airline.
And that's what I was thinking. So, okay, thank you on that one. The next one would be Dubai in January.
Yeah, so we have a little bit of time to purchase that one, right? So into Dubai, there's several different options of getting there. It's still going to be expensive. There's the tickets to that area of the world are pretty expensive.
Okay.
What you really need to do is to get to New York and base your trip out of New York somehow.
Okay.
So we need to get you in from the Wisconsin area into New York, maybe early in the morning, and take one of those night flights later in the night, because your best price point is going to be out of New York.
Okay.
And when you're shopping on websites, if you type in, I want to go from Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay to Dubai, you're going to see outrageous prices.
Okay.
So what you need to do is shop out of New York, figure out what the best price is out of New York, maybe out of Chicago, possibly out of Atlanta, because Delta has some stuff in there.
Okay.
And then you need to figure out how to get to those cities, usually at a lower cost, and you'll save yourself literally hundreds of dollars.
Okay. All right. Well, very good then. Thank you very much.
Yep. Sure. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And Leisha in Delafield, I believe you are next. Hi, Leisha.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yeah. I actually had a question about traveling from Milwaukee to Calgary.
Sure.
And I was looking up tickets and everything. It's about $600 to $700. And I was wondering if you had any recommendations of any, like, what travel agents or any, like, websites that would give me.
What time frame are you going?
August.
In August? Any time in August? Are you flexible?
August 12th.
August 12th. Are you flexible around that day at all?
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm doing is I'm going to do a search on our site here while we're talking in the background. I'll take a look for you in just a sec.
Okay.
Usually, you're looking at basically a trans-border flight to Canada, so the tax rates are going to be pretty high on that flight. I'm not sure, but the Calgary's actually been running pretty cheap recently out of, for instance, the West Coast and maybe out of Chicago. I was just doing a story with people on Calgary about a week ago. If you're going on the 12th, it looks like the best price point is in the high 400s right now.
Okay.
Let me see what airline that's on real quick. Just give me a few seconds, but for the most part, August travel, it sort of breaks, especially on international travel, around the end of August and early September. So you're going to be probably in the higher price point right now, and it looks like Northwest has a one stop at 480 right now on the 12th, and it looks like also Frontier Airlines flies into there as well. Mm-hmm. And United, so they're all running in the high 400s out the door.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling. And let's see, have we got time for Marilyn here in Green Bay? Have you got a quick question?
Yes, we wanted to, in September the 13th, we wanted to fly from Green Bay to San Diego, but we want to stop off in Phoenix on the way out. And when I heard from Larry that you were going to be on the show, I did go to your website, and I was wondering about the alert. I couldn't find how I could
do that alert. Okay.
Well, I guess we need to figure out how to make our homepage better, don't we? In the top right hand corner of the homepage, it'll say airfare deal alerts, and you can just put your email address in. And it'll ask you a couple questions about which city you want to depart from and what city you want to go to. And then as soon as you do that, you're signed up.
Okay.
You'll be going from Green Bay to Phoenix, then from Phoenix to
right,
San
now,
Diego.
That's a special kind of trip. We actually don't have alerts for what's called multi-city trips right now. What you should do in that case, if you want to research the best prices, and what will happen, the way that airlines price that, is they're going to price what's called a half-round trip. So if you put in an alert for Green Bay to, I think it was Phoenix, right? And then also from Phoenix to, where was your destination?
San Diego.
San Diego. So go ahead and put an alert from Phoenix to San Diego. If you track those two price points and divide it by two, that's approximately the cost you should pay for that multi-city trip.
And thank you for calling, Marilyn. And Rick, thank you so much. Appreciate having you with us today.
Sure, it was fun. I enjoy this.
Rick Cini is CEO of FareCompare.com, consumer search research website, and you can go there and get some information for free, FareCompare.com. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.